Our scripture this morning is taken from the Luke 1, verses 26 through 31. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus."
Before the sermon, first a question. Where do you go to find God? And that can be, where do you physically go? Where do you psychologically, spiritually go? But where do you go to find God? When you are seeking God's presence, where do you go? A lot of us, we go to nature. Our hummingbirds are back. We will never have as many as Kathy Hauser has. But I'm not jealous of that, because ours are so pretty. And when I see their little iridescent wings and the males and the females, you can tell them apart and they're back. That is certainly one of the most exquisite creations of God. Some people go to church. You know what the word church literally means? It comes from the Greek ekklesia, and that means the assembly. The church is the assembly of us together. Some people go to books and learning scripture, study scripture. Some people go to good works. They go to the Salvation Army on Tuesday morning and they feed and they feed and they feed the people. God found me this past week, because generally when we say when we go to find God, it really means where do we go to open ourselves so that God can find us, right? I was working in the Chalice Abbey books, our store, which is in the library. And we got these really neat bookends in. And I need a couple of books to go between the bookends. So I go to the library and I picked up two old books. I kind of wanted them old and dark so that they wouldn't take away from the beauty of the bookends, you know. And so I did. I picked them up and I put them in there. And I noticed this one. The name of the book is Mary. And I looked at the author and just a vague recollection came to mind. His name was Sholem Ash, or Ash. He was come to find out later, and I'd heard his name because he was a famous Jewish playwright and author of the 30s and 40s. He was a Polish Jew, a Hasidic Jew, who before World War I came to America with his family to escape the war. And he became famous here. He was a wonderful writer and author, and he was highly respected within the Jewish fellowship until he wrote three books. He wrote three books in the 30s and 40s. This was one of them, Mary. Another of them was called The Apostle. It was about Paul. And another was called The Nazarene, about Jesus. And when he wrote these books, there was an uproar in Hasidic Judaism because they believed he had converted to Christianity. But he hadn't. He was still a good practicing Hasidic Jew, but they didn't believe him. They said when he died, and he died in the early 60s, it was a very small funeral. They said if he hadn't written these three books, he would have been extolled and it would have been in one of the largest synagogues and he would have been put to rest in a proper way. And so after reading that, of course, I did a lot of research. Well, no, I wikied him and found that out. But I started reading this book because what is there about these books that could cause him to change so much? I took this book home. In fact, I checked it out of our library. This book, well, the library card is still in. I checked it out on May the 4th. The book was placed in the library in 1975. And I was the first one to check it out. I've got it on my library card here. And I'll place it back. But you will understand what I mean. Listen to this. Her firstborn was the child of her virgin dreams. The child of her Sabbath and holiday, the child of her prayer. In sudden awe of his incomprehensible ordainment and the mystic nature of his birth, she would sink to her knees by his cot and raise her hands to him like a devout pilgrim who meets a divine revelation on the road. Often when she saw him playing in a corner or memorizing the biblical verses which tripped so lightly from his childish lips, or when she watched him asleep in the wooden cot that Joseph had carved for him, she would speak softly to her anxious heart. "Who are you who came to me so wonderfully? Who sent you to me in my distress? What worlds did you leave behind to come to me? And what is your destiny, you who are the fruit of my womb?" But such transports occurred only exceptional moments when she recalled her own election. At other times, she treated Yeshua as she treated Jacob, her younger child, and she taxed her strength to the utmost to provide for their needs. Wow. Wow. If God didn't just come to you in hearing those words, wow. And so this almost excommunicated Hasidic Jew wrote the most profound witness to the Christian faith that I've ever heard. I do understand why the Hasidic Jews accused him of being converted, don't you? Beautiful. Pay attention. God is looking for you. God may find you in a dusty book, unread in the corner of a church library. So hence the title of today's sermon, Ave Maria. What does that mean? Ave Maria? It literally means Hail Mary. It's the beginning of the prayer. The Catholic prayer, the Rosary prayer. Hail Mary, Mother of God. Theotokos. God's. Tokos is a word literally meaning to give birth. She who gave birth to God. And that happened in the, she became Theotokos in 431 at a bishop's council in Ephesus. That was the first time Mary was elevated to that extent. She's called Mother Mary, Mother of God, Perpetual Virgin, Our Lady of Sorrows, and all of those other names throughout the centuries. The church has been criticized by some over the ages for deifying Mary. The male-dominated culture and church simply couldn't have that, could they? We always talk about the fatherhood of God. But the motherhood of God does not fall or roll off our lips as easily. We have been trained to that. And why does it not? Why does not the motherhood of God roll off our lips? It's because of 30 centuries of being taught otherwise. Who is God and what is God's essence? Where do we find one of the statements about exactly who God is that is so revelatory? John put, God is spirit. And those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. Remember that big word, anthropomorphizing? We have anthropomorphized God to the extent that over the millennia, God has become the warrior God and then the fatherhood God and then the male protector God. John's gospel says otherwise. Where was I? I thought I had a sermon here. It's looking less and less likely. But we do. Today we honor a mother's love as epitomized by Mary. By Mary. What is the New Testament's picture? We hear Sholemash, he witnesses so beautifully to it. What is the New Testament picture of Mary? First of all, we see Mary as thankful, do we not? That comes through in Sholemash, remember the Magnificat, where Mary is thanking God in the most beautiful language there is. We find Mary unsure on occasion, do we not? Do you remember one time, even after Jesus was grown and he was on on his ministry, and Mary and the other children came to fetch him home. She was unsure. She was afraid he was going to get harmed because he was preaching in such a dangerous way when Herod was the king. She was protective. She sought to bring Jesus home on that occasion to protect him. I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and it just had, and kind of new letters. You know what the new letters I'm talking about? They're the ones that you will see. What is the craft store that's so big? The Hobby Lobby. It's Hobby Lobby type letters. And it said Mama, and then there was a picture of a bear. Mary was like that. And then we read that her struggle was never ending. It was constant. Even when she stood at the base of the cross, her struggle hadn't ended then. And motherhood is like that. Mothers never, ever, ever give up. A loving mother. On Mother's Day, I made a pledge about 20 years ago, and I've kept it. It's to always reintroduce you to Crazy Chuck on Mother's Day. And today, Johnny asked me, are you talking about? And she had missed the name, Cousin Chuck. But of course, Chuck was my cousin. But are you going to talk about Cousin Chuck today? I said, it's Mother's Day, isn't it? So I'll give you the short version. Crazy Chuck was my 5 year older than me cousin, and he was born mean. He stole, he cheated, he lied from when he was very young. I hated to see him come to the house because when I was little and still had toys, he would go home with all my toys. No one wanted to have Chuck around except the other ne'er-do-wells, and so he was in a gang of ne'er-do-wells. When he was 16, he robbed his boss at the filling station with the boss's new gun, who had shown it to him and handed it to him so he could hold it. And he said, give me all your money, to his boss. And he took up. They caught Chuck. They threw him in jail. He learned photography in jail one time. And so what did he start doing? Forgery and faking driver's license for people and all sorts of things that you could do with photography. He learned underwater welding at another time, but never became a good underwater welder because it was hard to steal from people when you're underwater welding. Everyone in the family had given up on Chuck except his mother and my grandmother. Everyone called my grandmother Mom. She raised me. And Chuck's mother was named Lois Omega. But from Lubbock, it was Lois Omega. They named her Omega because she was to be the last. And then came her little brother Jimmy. Y'all can just say this along if you... But the point of this, no one believed Chuck would ever amount to anything. He spent more than half his adult life in prison. And he finally got out for the last time, and he had earned a nursing degree in prison. And he became a nurse, and he found himself. He became such a well-known emergency room cardiac nurse that he did symposiums in other places. He didn't live too long. He died at 60. He had about 10 years of doing that. He finally got out of jail for the last time at about 45. And by the time he was 50, he was known as one of Texas's best emergency room nurses. He died. His drinking, his carousing, his everything caught up with him. But he died a happy fellow. And it was totally because Lois Omega, and Mom didn't give up on him. Rest in peace, Crazy Chuck. And that love of Mary was eternal in its nature. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.